2 Corinthians 13 on Through the Word, and we have reached the final round of this boxing match. I started off the book by welcoming you to the fight of your life, better known as ministry. And for me, ministry has indeed been a fight. But I am so glad to say that in this ministry, in the fight of my life, God always wins. I'm also glad to say, now on my second time recording this series, I think I've gotten better at the battle. Seriously, when I listened back to my first recordings, I had a little flashback trauma. Those were some rough days when we first launched Through the Word, but I can look back now and say, God got us through, and He'll do it again. And praise God for seasons of refreshing. Now back in the text, remember that the false teachers in Corinth had challenged Paul's authority. They called him weak in speech and in stature. In his defense, Paul refused to flaunt skills or strength, but he boasted in his weakness, and he leaned entirely on God's power and God's calling. His authority came only from the Lord. Well, the final chapter opens with Paul letting the church know that he will be visiting soon. Paul is hoping that they will fix their own issues, but if not, he wants them to know that he will be ready to deal with the problems at hand. Discipline is an essential part of church leadership. Paul was aware of his weaknesses, but in Jesus' power, he was strong enough to step up, to confront and correct in love, even if some did challenge his authority. He responds to the authority issue once again in verse 3. You are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me. He is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. So Paul reminds the church of Jesus' weakness and Jesus' power. This is amazing to me. Jesus, with the power to stretch out the heavens and hold all things together, Jesus was crucified in weakness. He could have called down a massive battalion of angels, but he allowed himself to be weak. Which brings me back to 12:9, when the Lord said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Now, I don't think God was saying that he only works through our weaknesses, as if he only speaks through lousy teachers and only sings through awful singers. That doesn't make sense. God does work through our skill and our strength. But we make a mistake when we try to complete his power by being perfect in our skill. That's just pride. Made perfect means completed. His power works in us through our skills and strengths, but it is made perfect in our weakness. My friend Stephen is one of my favorite people to talk Bible with because of his incredible mind for scripture and his love for the word. And yet, Stephen has cerebral palsy. He's brilliant and he's handicapped. And I could wonder why God allows it, but I've seen it time and again. God gives strengths, but the character is made perfect, and God's strength shines through in the weakness. And this is what amazes me. Jesus, our leader, our Savior, and our great example in ministry, showed us the way in weakness. He hurt, he suffered, and he died. He was perfected in weakness. Again in verse 4, "For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power." And Paul says that in that same combination of weakness and strength, and with the presence of Christ with us, we will visit you and deal with the issues at hand. That combination is authority with humility, and every Christian leader must learn that balance. We learn it through weakness. And then in verse 5, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." So Paul challenges the Corinthians, and you and I with them, to test our own faith. Examine yourself to make sure that you're a Christian. The Corinthians were resistant to rebuke and questioning Paul's credentials. So Paul says, examine yourself first. Get real with yourself and God about your faith. Why wait for us to correct you? Back in verse 5, "Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." And as you examine your faith, the key question is just that. Is Christ in you? Is Jesus in your heart? And is your life guided by him? Verse 6, and I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Paul has defended himself thoroughly and hopes that the church he loves will see that his faith is true and that his authority comes from God above. But even if they don't, Paul says in verse 7, "Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong." And Paul explains, it's not about making us look good as your leaders. It's about you doing the right thing. Paul's heart is for them. This is the heart of a man in ministry for Christ. Verse 9, "We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong, and our prayer is that you may be fully restored." Now that's a pastor's heart for the church he loves. They are worth the fight. If we have to go through weakness and trial so that you can find strength, so that you can be restored to God, you're worth it. See, Paul knows what his authority is for, and this one is essential for anyone in ministry. Verse 10, "The authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down." Remember, building permit, not demolition notice, because the purpose of correction is restoration. Verse 11, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." So Paul ends the letter where he began, with the God of love and peace, the God of all comfort, who helps us so that we can help others who share the same trials. And that's 2 Corinthians. I love this letter. You know, the first time I recorded this, I had just about hit the wall. Life and trials and ministry all hit at once. You could hear it in my voice. And I remember some of you listeners heard it and wrote me, sent me some courage and comfort. And I got up to fight another day. And I can say through it all, the God of love and peace never left me. Well, to close things up, I think I'll read something that I wrote back then. It was 2012, Wednesday night church. I fell into that church pew like the stool in the corner of a boxing ring, feeling like I had just gone 15 rounds against life. And one phrase popped in my mind, "Faith is a fight." I wrote it down in my journal. And then for probably the first time since I was in high school, I wrote a poem. And so, to close up, here it is. Faith. Faith is a fight, and I intend to stand. Though life strikes hard and doubt draws blood, I will lift my head and beat my chest, for I intend to stand. Hope. Hope is a rhythm, and I intend to dance. When the melody of God's promises fills the room and the reality of heaven awakens my heart, I will not stand at the wall, for I intend to dance. Life. Life is a story, and I intend to live it. Though chapters end and tragedy scars the page, I will persevere, I will read on, for I intend to live. Love. Love is a symphony, and I intend to play. Love is a passionate explosion of emotion and compassion, of laughter and joy and tears, of sacrifice and heartbreak, and healing and mercy and kindness and purity and commitment and determination, and a holy God who puts an instrument in my hands and notes on my page and lifts his baton. Love is a symphony, and I intend to play. Death. Death is an end, and I intend to live on. When this old heart slows and the sparkle in these eyes fades, I will stand anew with eyes aglow. I will lift them up to see at last the one who gave me faith to stand and hope to dance, the one who gave me life to live and a love song to play, the one who died to destroy my death, who broke my heart to make it whole, Jesus, the love who saved my soul.
Thanks for joining us for today's audio guide. You can find this chapter and hundreds more on the Through the Word app and website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.